Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So we got a lot to unpack this morning. Bears, White Sox magic number rolling, man. Rolling down to 7, Hoodie.
Gotta love that, man. Enjoyed watching the Sox just steamroll over the Angels yesterday. And what did I talk about, Cap? It's about momentum, right?
Yep.
Getting right here in September so you can carry that momentum into the postseason for the White Sox.
That's it. And you're getting guys healthy. And they're, you know, Tony's doing, I think, a wonderful job. You're going to play every other day. You're going to get a day off. You're going to keep your legs fresh. You're going to keep your arm fresh. While we're running Wilson Contreras out there with a knee injury.
All right. Don't let it get dark so early the program.
I just speak the truth.
I understand that, but feel good about my White Sox, though. Feel good about them. I mean, outside of you betting on them. Feel good about the White Sox and what's been going on with the ball club.
I had them last night.
Yeah, of course you did.
But I'd like to thank the Phillies for screwing up that plan.
Well, again, I'm glad you have your emotional investment in this White Sox run financially.
Whatever it takes, kid.
No. See, you're not really... You mentioned the White Sox, but you only talk about them from a financial standpoint. If they can put money in your pocket, then you're invested. Me, I don't put one dime on the White Sox. Not one shilling. You know why? Because I care about the team. Before, gambling was a thing.
My brother, he says the same thing.
Well, it's true.
I'm not betting against them, and I'm not betting on them. I've got that. I'm in all.
That's right.
All in, whatever you want to put it.
That's 100% Southside, 100% true fan, right over here to your right. You know why? I don't have to put one dime on the team to watch the ball club. That's the difference between you and I. I'm all in, as long as they're good for my parlay. Screw that. Take that.
That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, though, with you. I want you to be able to be my brother next to me and have any investment I have in the White Sox. But you can't do it, though. Cub fan.
I'm rooting for you.
As long as it works for my parlay. Take that. That's what it's about,
no,
man.
No, I want it both.
No, Cap, no. And by the way, it's okay. And someone reminded me of that at our golf outing. And Flossmore.
That's where I was headed.
Yes. Someone reminded me of that. One of the golfers reminded me of that. It's like, hey, where's your partner, the Sox fan? He put any bets on the game tonight? I said, I'm not sure of his parlay, but I'm sure the White Sox are in it because he knows a good winning ball club when he sees one.
Yes. Thank you, White Sox. Yes. Then the dead-ass Phillies lose to that North Side Nine.
You know.
Wow.
Who'd you call them, the North Side Nine?
Yeah.
Is that what you call That's a new obvious shirt, I believe.
That's it.
The North Side Nine.
That's it.
You just I think that's brilliant. The North Side Nine. The T-shirt is nine faces of Cub players, and the only one that you can recognize is Wilson Contreras and Hayward. Yeah. Who are the other seven?
I have no idea.
I think that's Ortega. No, actually, that's Schwindel.
Exactly. No, that's Alcantara.
Oh, I see.
Sorry. And the wrong Latin player.
Boy, what a great radio bit that is. Get yourself a Northside 9 t-shirt and just go to any random Cub fan. Excuse me. We know Hayward. I know you know Contreras. Maybe you don't. Can you name the other seven? Probably not.
Exactly. So we had our station golf outing yesterday. Thank you to the wonderful people at Flossmore Country Club. We were down in the south suburbs and had a great time. The weather cooperated.
Oh,
I almost made a hole in one.
I heard. You have photographic evidence of this?
I do.
All right.
I do. And it was 120 some yards.
Mm-hmm.
I hit a sand wedge because it was a little downhill. It hit, and I'm like, oh, that's long. And it hit and spun back, and there it goes. It's rolling right at the pin. It stopped 3 feet. I've never had one. And I thought, how apropos would that be
so
if I did it at our station golf outing with Abdallah, who's riding around in the cart with me?
I also had a sandwich yesterday. Thanks so much for Bono Beef stopping by. Great sandwich.
Sand wedge, not witch.
Huh?
Sand wedge, not sand witch.
I beg your pardon. Well, no. We thank our friends at Lou Malnati's. I know that. I know what Lou Malnati's is. I might not know what a sand wedge is.
Right.
But I know what Lou Malnati's is. Tremendous.
It was outstanding.
Cheese or pepperoni. You had your choices there. That was great. Coors Pure. Had a few dozen of those yesterday. First Midwest Bank. Also, Points Bet. Your guys?
Yep. Jim Miller and Dakota Schultz were there.
I didn't see Jim.
You did?
Damn it. I didn't see Jim Miller.
He was there for a while. He had to pitch in the men's league last night.
Of course, American Sale, as Hawthorne Racecourse, Alta Equipment Company as well, all part of the mix. And your Chicagoland Acura dealers, all part of it, and more.
Yeah, I rode around with Abdallah for 5 hours.
Sure, how was that?
It was great. Abdallah and I have a nice relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And we played with the guys from Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Hi.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Sylvie was camped out on, I don't know, what hole? Three, maybe?
No, that was me.
You were on every hole.
What did I tell you?
Neither of us followed instructions well.
Wait a minute. Wait, I was all over the... I was glad-handing. I was shaking hands, kissing babies and infants as well.
You were.
I was doing all of that.
You were. But we had a really good
time. How about that, Danny?
Really good time out there. Danny played golf, which is not something Danny does.
Now, let me explain something to you about Zetterman, because you had your own thing going, but I was watching Danny, right?
Huh?
Let me tell you about Danny. Zetterman is such a sandbagger, right? He always comes in with the low expectations, right? For a guy that's so confident, always the low expectations. I'm not very good. Don't expect a lot from me. And then all of a sudden, whammo, 150, right up that line. Whammo. He was hitting all over the yard. This guy's a sandbagger because he wants everyone else to know. I just want you to know I'm the worst golfer of the foursome. I just want you to know. Whammo, 175 to the right. Tremendous. Once again.
Danny's an athlete, man.
Well, he's a sandbagger. He wants you to know that he's not very good, and then, boom. Don't play cards with that guy.
No, definitely not.
Just telling you.
So we just want to thank all of our great sponsors.
Don't be looking like that, Danny.
All the great people out there. I saw Jim Stadler, the CMO of First Midwest Bank. He was out there.
Good man.
I want a golf match against that guy. He's taunting me as he drives down the fairway. He's a really good player. I'd like a shot at the title.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So that's a challenge, Jim.
Oh, a point-to-point communication. I think he's listening right now.
He always does.
Okay.
In the First Midwest Bank studio.
So you want a piece, a gym?
Yeah.
Okay. Right
on State Street. Come on down. 190 North State, kid. I want a shot at the title.
Oh, yep. All right.
So
that was great. But there's another wrinkle to all this, Cap, and that is, there was something missing in the golf outing, for sure. We had a great time, a lot of laughs, hole three, telling people, hey, by the way, it's 270 to the bridge. Good luck there. 270 to the water.
Yeah.
Just freaking everybody out at hole three. Well, it really wasn't 270, but we're telling people it's 270 to the water. Either too short or too long into the water.
Right. I was told it's 270. I'm like, well, I'm not getting in that water. And
we're BSing people.
Hit a really good drive.
Yeah.
Bang it down in the water. Because it was really like 240.
It was. We told people it was 270.
Guys are brutal.
But there was something missing in the golf outing. You know what that was?
Mm.
It was Sven Zetterman. Danny's dad, Sven. He was not there.
I don't understand why.
Danny, could you explain why your dad was not there? Because the last golf outing that we had, the Grip It and Sip It, just tremendous. It was great for him. I got a big hug from his dad. We had a nice conversation. So why wasn't your dad there? What's going on there?
I don't really know why he wasn't there. I thought the rule was if there was an ESPN 1000 golf outing, Harry Sven Zetterman would be there as kind of our mascot, right? Our honorary mascot, wearing orange shorts and a pink hat. That's his move, right? The brightest colors possible.
Yes.
I think, I got the call late to golf in this, late last week, and I think I was told that I was golfing late last week specifically so I wouldn't ask if my dad could golf. But That being said, my dad did not deserve to golf in this golf outing because thanks to him, I almost didn't get to golf in this golf outing. I didn't tell you guys this, but so late last week, I get an email from our great marketing manager, Jessica Taylor, and she says, hey, by the way, you're going to golf Tuesday with the gentleman from the Pride Stores. And those guys were great, Chris and Nick. I had so much fun, the two dudes from the Pride Stores. Mm-hmm. And I get the email from Jessica saying, hey, you're going to golf with these guys. Sure, no problem. Let me take you back to the Grip It and Sip It golf outing. My golf clubs at one time were my dad's. He is an avid golfer, golfs 3-4 times a week. He has really nice golf clubs. About 2 years ago, he says to me, I'm buying a new set of golf clubs. Do you want these golf clubs? And I said, absolutely. You have far nicer golf clubs than I do. I would never spend that kind of money on golf clubs. I don't really like the game. And he gave me the golf clubs. He golfs in the Grip It and Sip It. And after the Grip It and Sip It golf outing, he says to me, can I take your golf clubs home, the ones I gave you? I want to polish them up. I want to take care of them. You don't really do a good job. I might change some of the grips on them. And I'm thinking to myself, no problem. Go ahead. He takes the golf clubs home. I don't golf again between the Grip It and Sip It and yesterday. So I get the email Friday from Jessica that I'm golfing in this golf outing. So I call him on my way home Friday. And I say, hey, Dad, I've got to swing by the house. I've got to pick up my golf clubs. I'm golfing in a golf outing on Tuesday. And he goes, well, that's going to be a problem. And I said, what do you mean it's going to be a problem? He said, I gave them away.
What?
I said, what? He said, I had a friend that wanted a new set of golf clubs. He was going to buy the ones I gave you. You don't use them. So I just let them. I just let him have yours.
Wait a minute. You just can't just give your golf clubs away.
Once you give them to someone, it's theirs.
Not only did he give the golf clubs away, guys, I had a Kansas Jayhawk golf bag, and he gave the dude the Kansas Jayhawk golf bag, and the guy didn't go to Kansas, nor is he a Jayhawk fan. The bag was full of balls. The bag was full of tees. The bag had my gloves. The bag had literally everything I needed to golf, and he just gave it to his friend.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I was on his side with the trading cards on this one. Sven is dead wrong.
So then it gets better. So I say, well, listen, I need a set of golf clubs, Dad. I'm golfing. This is a work event. I need to golf. So I'm going to come over, and I'm going to get your golf clubs. No, you can't borrow mine. I'm going to play Tuesday. So now I'm scrambling to find a set of golf clubs at the last minute so I could golf yesterday. I call my nephew, the one that he wanted to give my trading cards to.
Yes.
And I called Dylan and I said, Dylan, I got to borrow your golf clubs. So yesterday I played with my 17-year-old nephew's golf clubs because my father gave mine away.
What is wrong? What? Why does he want to give your stuff away? I don't understand this. First it was the cards, right? And now the golf clubs, he just gives them away. The Kansas bag.
That's just inappropriate.
Well, what do you think Danny should do about this? I mean, his dad clearly wants to. Anything that Danny has, he wants to give to other people.
If I was you, Danny, I would call Sven after the show and tell him to meet you at, like, what's the name in the new clubs? PGX or whatever those are, they're almost custom.
Yeah.
Tell him to meet you this afternoon. You're getting fitted for a new set of clubs, a bag, and then you're going to go to golf wherever, PGA Superstore. And he's buying you 24 golf balls, 2 or 3 gloves, some tees. He's setting you up.
It's funny you suggest that. I told this story to my mom. My mom, her first response was, your dad would give me away if he could. The second response was, your dad should buy you new golf clubs, to which I heard from the background, there's no way I'm buying him golf clubs.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, he is.
Why would he do that?
You send Hoodie and I over there. Moose and Rocco are coming to pay him a visit.
Before you know it, Hoodie will be sitting down for a nice soup.
Well, I'll be glad. Well, I mean, after I've convinced him, harshly, that you shouldn't be giving Danny's stuff away.
Yeah.
Trying to push his cards out the door, and now this?
Not good.
What is going on, man?
Inappropriate.
Why is there a detachment between Danny and his dad?
Yeah, seems that there's an estrangement coming.
I got to lay the law down. He thinks he can just push me around. Yeah. This is why I am the way I am, guys.
Take it out on us.
Scarred. All right, we got to get to the Bears because Akeem Hicks spoke yesterday. Tayshaun Gibson spoke yesterday. Bears and Bengals on Sunday. So we are going to chop up the Bears. That is coming up next.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap Jay Hood, in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. On ESPN 1000, I thought the line of the day that you delivered to me yesterday was, like, I hadn't seen you. And Abdallah and I said, where's Hoodie? We haven't seen him. I said, he's supposed to be parked on some hole, and we've played almost all of them. We get to a hole, and there you are. And I said, oh, there's my partner. He said, I told you, I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere.
That's exactly right.
That's what you did.
So I told you yesterday, you're going to be on hole three. I'll be at the hole I want to be on. I was in a lot of holes yesterday.
On.
I'm sorry?
On holes, not in.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes. I was in on a lot of holes yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. I was shaking hands, kissing babies. It was fun. Then eventually I got to three and talked to my guy, Wags. Wow, we had a great time.
Yep, Scott Wagman from sales.
So it made a lot of
I got
people.
In trouble with in school as a kid.
So it was just a lot of fun, that's for sure.
312-332-3776. We do want to talk some Bears football with you because Akeem Hicks spoke yesterday. Tayshawn Gibson spoke yesterday about that awful, awful non-touch of Van Jefferson after the long catch early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought took some responsibility. We'll get to all of that. And then Keyshawn Johnson is going to be a regular with us.
Oh, that's going to be great. That's great. Keyshawn Johnson knows the NFL backwards and forwards, always has a strong opinion.
Yep.
Of course, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Yeah, get it right.
5-7. Yeah, I mean, I got to get a scorecard for that show. Nonetheless, 5-7, that's where you can hear Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Correct.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm exhausted.
For now.
Long title.
Anyway, Chuck Garfine at 8:35, we'll talk White Sox. Magic number down. To 7 on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000. So Akeem Hicks spoke yesterday. We'll get to him about his contract because do you put your money where your mouth is? We'll find out. He wants to retire a Bear. Well, that means you're going to have to work in the confines of a team that's strapped financially with the cap.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thought about the Bears defense, Cap, because you have a couple of choices here if you are the Bears brass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that you and I have not talked about regarding the Bears in their future. Now, for those listening for the first time or might have missed what Cap said regarding the age of the defense, the starters, at 24 years of age, 24 mm-hmm. and a half?
24 and a half.
24 and a half years of age. Now, as we can pretty much see here, because the Bears are not getting to the quarterback enough, at some point this Bears defense will be dismantled.
Correct.
Meaning that as much as you'd want to have Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols,
Khalil,
and the big names like Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, at some point in the very near future, that's going to change. So I wonder about Akeem Hicks in that same regard, too. Do you want him to be a Bear for the long haul? Do you want him around? Now, listen. He's giving you terrific production when healthy, right?
He's a beast.
He did anything he could to try to bust through the line just to get that sack, that half sack, mm-hmm. as he had against the Rams. But the question is the juice worth the squeeze for Akeem Hicks if you're going to kind of reset this defense at some point? Like Khalil Mack, again, waiting for the production from Khalil Mack. On the surface, you'd say that guy comes in as a top 10 player, but not playing like it because the production's not there. Same thing with Quinn. You got Quinn, I thought, you get adding Robert Quinn to the defense, that's putting a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. You already had a strong defense before Quinn got here.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, Cap, is should the Bears look into having Hicks long term?
Yes, if the dollars work. Yes, if the dollars, because you need something inside that can push the pocket and make it very tough if both ends are playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced Robert Quinn gives you enough on the other side where you slide protection over help against Khalil and you go, what are we doing here? A lot of money on that defense.
By the way, maybe I should whiteboard the hat on the hat thing that I say. If you already have one hat, why do you need three or four? That's what I mean
by
that.
Well, then they let Leonard Floyd go. They got rid of, there was a hat, and then they said goodbye to Leonard Floyd.
Right. So. I'm saying, like, if you're wearing, like, you're wearing a hat today, mm-hmm. it would be kind of silly for you to wear three or four at the same time. And what I mean is, like, Quinn was an addition that maybe you didn't need because the defense was strong, but you're like, boy, look at the production. How can you say no, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you add all that, and you still don't get the production that you want. That's the thing that's frustrating to me.
Okay, so all of that said, Akeem played pretty well. He had a stupid penalty. He did get pressure to help lead to the sack, the whole deal. How do you not touch a guy down in the secondary? And if you don't, you better get it fixed. This is Tayshawn Gibson.
I can't tell you, man, honestly, it's one of those plays where in my 10-year career, I don't think I've been a part of. If you play that play between me and Eddie, 10 times out of 10, one of us tag him down. Too much football IQ to between the two of us to let a play like that happen. So obviously it's just one of them things that keep you up at night. You can deal with a lot of things, but, you know, we touch him down. You never know how that changed the momentum. Just like they got to stop on a turnover in the red zone, change the momentum for them. Who knows what that could have did for us. So, obviously, man, that's tough, man. Something as simple as touching a guy down, you know, they teach you that. And literally, obviously, it's just a play that can't happen, shouldn't happen, and won't happen again, man, as long as I'm employed by the National Football League, and I'm sure Eddie feel the same way.
At least they take culpability for it, but it better never happen again. Right?
He took responsibility. And by the way, with him saying that openly, I got nothing else to say about it. Like, the hands are clean. It was a mistake. He recognized the mistake. He says, as long as I'm employed, not by the Bears, by the National Football League, as long as I'm playing football, that play will never happen again.
Correct.
And you know what? That's all a fan wants to hear.
Correct.
Like, did you see what I saw? Do you have some kind of excuse or reason why you didn't touch him down? No. He says, you know what? It's a play that keeps me up at night. There you go.
So none of us are perfect.
That's
we get
right.
done, and there are days I'm like, ah, that's on me. I should have done that. Or you say the same. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Danny, not so much. But
he's perfect.
Yeah. So when you hear that, there's nothing else to say. It better never happen again.
That's
never.
It. That's it.
That was embarrassing.
It's part of what you and I have talked about, Cap, regarding some of these teams just, like, not prepared. You don't put enough time in practice. You don't put enough time in these preseason games. These games mean nothing. Oh, sure. They mean something as far as getting the fundamentals down. No one's asking you to play four quarters in a preseason game, but just the little things, the muscle memory, the little things that you hadn't done in the offseason, you do in practice in preseason games.
Let me ask you a question. Danny, do you think... Like, the Packers have all come out and said, we weren't ready to play. Well, how you're not ready to play in the freaking opening game of the season, that's a problem. Whether that's LaFleur's fault, mm-hmm. maybe the diva quarterback wasn't ready, maybe there are guys in the locker room that are ticked off that all year, offseason, all they had to hear about was the diva quarterback. Is he going to play? Is he going to go to Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
Our football team... Very disconcerting that guys would make mental mistakes to the degree they did.
That is correct. That is correct. And when I heard that whole thing that's going on in with the Packers and saying that they weren't prepared, that's a direct shot at LaFleur. Direct shot.
Okay, so Danny, do you and Hoodie think the Bears weren't ready to play and that's why they made those mistakes? Or is it a far more dire situation, Jonathan, that the talent is so bad it can't be fixed? What do you guys think?
Danny?
Let me rephrase the question to you.
Okay.
Do you think the Packers will perform on Sunday against the Lions the way they did last Sunday against the Saints? Because I don't believe they will. So I do believe that they were just not prepared. Now, if you take that to the Bears, I think that the Bears are exactly who the Bears were Sunday night. And the performance we saw Sunday in L.A. will be similar to the one we see Sunday on the lakefront. So I do think the Packers just weren't ready, but I think they can rebound because they're a better team. And I think we all agree they're going to win the NFC North, whereas I don't think the Bears can rebound that much. The ceiling isn't that high for this Bears team.
J.H.?
Let me ask you something as a coach, because I think sometimes players – kind of lean into this because it's part of the sports speak of saying, you know, we just weren't prepared. as a coach, you know damn well that you prepared guys, you practiced them hard, you went through the film, watch this tendency, watch this, watch that. You know you had them prepared. But to me, it's the lack of execution, right? I can't believe the Packers were not prepared. They just didn't execute. They didn't expect to get punched in the mouth by Jameis Winston. Correct. I think so. Tell me about that part of it, because you can speak to that better than anybody on the show regarding whether you're prepared or is it that you just didn't execute, even though you had the game plan. You had the blueprint. Correct. You just didn't get it done.
There were games where we knew going in we're at a decided talent disadvantage, mm-hmm. or advantage. If we just play decent, we're going to beat the crap out of that team.
Yeah.
Or we could play our best. If they're playing to their best, we got no shot. But then I remember playing Ron Harper at Northern.
Yep.
They're coming in. They're undefeated. They're 17th in the country. We're 3-5. I can see it. The late Coach McDougal writing 3-5 on the board. And we were at practice the day before. I thought, man, we're ready to play, man. We are ready to play. We're like an 11-point underdog. Mm. We're ready. We're 5 minutes into practice. Guys, good energy. Everybody's ready. They're excited for this opportunity. It was on TV, which was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes in, this God-fearing Christian man who doesn't curse, 2 F-bombs, throws the ball into the stands and goes, if you blanking guys are going to give this effort this quickly, I'm out of here. Coaches, we're gone. And he leaves. Leaves. 5 minutes into practice.
Mm-hmm.
We get around the bleachers, and I'm in shock. I'm a young, like 22 years old. Coach, that's it. He winks. He goes, we win by 20 tomorrow. I'm like, excuse me? They're razor sharp. I'm not taking any chances, and you can use that tactic one time a season, mm-hmm. and we will crush them tomorrow. We did by 18.
There it is.
Never forget it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
He knew we were ready.
Preparation and execution.
That's it.
So there you go.
You know when your team's ready, mm-hmm. if you're a veteran coach. But I would love to have Matt LaFleur honestly say, that's on me. I didn't have them ready to play. Or those guys were ready to play. They just didn't execute. Yes. They got, as you put it, they got punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis, all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, it's 14-0.
Right.
Game over. Mm-hmm. So there you go. As we get ready for Bears and Bengals on the lakefront, what is your biggest concern about this Bears team? The secondary, which looks awful. The quarterback, which we're playing the wrong guy. The coach, or the offensive line? That is a great question. 312-332-3776. And if you happen to run into Sven Zetterman on the north side of the Chicago area today, Danny, he lives in Chicago, right?
Yes, indeed. Rogers Park.
If you run into Sven Zetterman, he'll be wearing like orange shorts with a pink shirt and a white belt. Tell him to go to PXG and order Danny in a complete new set of golf clubs for giving away Danny's clubs. And a Kansas bag.
And a Kansas bag for sure.
Danny, you got to get like a new, really cool Kansas bag.
Every Kansas bag is really cool. It's got the Jayhawk.
All right, let's move along.
Right, it's got the little slot that they put the money in when they get a recruit.
You know what, Hamlin?
312-332-3776. Here's some golf clubs for signing with us. Oh, there's $50,000 in here.
We just love our players. We just love our players.
Thanks, Coach.
How's Brad? He's great.
312. I love him.
He's just freaking great.
312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
I love him.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Maker on, pour your first cup and have some fun with us on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. We're in the First Midwest Bank studio.
Poor Mindy.
What did I do to my wife?
When you're telling her, you don't tell her to turn anything on anymore. You tell, hey, baby, cut the light on for me.
I do that.
Cut the air on. excuse me? I said, cut the light on. That's what you're telling her.
Last, we have this. She's going to kill me if I out her like this.
It's kind of funny, though.
You ever heard of menopause? It's hot in our room.
Yes.
Okay? So we bought an Apt, ABT. Plug for them.
You're asking me, have I ever heard of menopause?
Yeah, well, are you dealing with it in your house yet? Because I am.
Yes. JR, put that on the poll at Cap J Hood. Have you heard of menopause? Yes, yeah. Or no?
And it was rather warm in the room, but it wasn't like stifling. Hey, baby, would you cut that portable air conditioner on? We bought one of those, like, it's on the floor.
Yes.
But our room got down to 66 degrees.
It was chilly.
It was. Mm. It was. And she had no problem.
She was all right with you cutting the air on, right?
Cut that air on for me. That's it. 312-332-3776. So we're ready for Bears-Bengals on the lakefront Sunday. And I know it's 2 of just 17. To me, that's a must-win game. You don't win that game, you're getting your ass kicked in Cleveland next week. I can promise you that.
Yeah, that one I would chalk up as a loss. Now, this one is winnable. Give Cincinnati credit, Cap, because you saw Cincinnati defeat the Vikings 27-24, last second win for the Bengals. What I liked about it is, like a number of teams, they're going for it on fourth down. They were aggressive, and Joe Burrow looked good. It's the Joe Burrow that we saw at LSU.
No question.
Come shining through in that win against the Vikings.
Yep. Overtime field goal, it's good. Jamar Chase, the speedster from LSU, their number one pick. Big, long touchdown down the right sideline. Better be prepared and ready to go because that team is getting better. So what's your biggest concern? Secondary, quarterback, coaching, offensive line. Which one? Let's go to James and Oswego first. Hey, James, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, brother?
Hey, I just want to say, you know, I've been a Bears fan all my life, and the thing that disturbs me the most about the coaching staff and Matt Nagy is when things go horribly wrong and they have a failure like they had on Sunday, and then he gets in front of the microphone and just says, oh, well, this happened. We need to grow a little bit there, and oh, that happened. Oh, yeah, we need to do that a little bit better. It just seems like there's no accountability, no pride in being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. It just seems like, you know, and that some of the players too, you know, they're all millionaires playing a game. Where's the passion? Where's the pride? You know, I know they care about the money. They should care about what they're doing on the field as much.
I do think they have pride. Knowing some of those guys, I'm telling you, they have pride. I just don't know if they're well coached, A. B, I don't know if there's enough talent there and how you can be in a salary cap. And thanks for the call, James. A salary cap environment where you do not have much flexibility. And that's your team. You better win on Sunday, because if you don't, you're starting 0-3.
Well, the way it happens offensively, and we don't have to give all the keys, but I think one of the keys, based on what we saw last Sunday night, is you got to take shots down the field. We were talking about this on the golf course yesterday, man. Like, to a man and woman, people are coming up to me yesterday and saying, Hoodie, how come we don't take shots down the field? And what I explained to them, I said, you know, I watch football for 7 hours before our Bears game. 12-7, I'm watching the red zone, and I'm watching bad teams take shots down the field, right? Because you have to stretch the defense. You got to give them a different look. The idea that the Komets and the Robinsons and the Moonies have to take a button hook at the Ford down the street, pretty much a 10-yard and in, that makes no sense to me. Those are guys that could be able to stretch the field. They were not allowed to do that on Sunday.
Dude, when you have the agent for Allen Robinson tweeting, when Dan Weederer, our guy who will be with us tomorrow, Dan Weederer does every week during the season, three words to describe the game. In three words, go. And Brandon Parker, the agent for Allen Robinson, 16 more games. Like, it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
That's bad. That is bad. Let's go to Mike in Schaumburg. Hey, Mike, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, menopause, isn't that the kissing disease you get from kissing horses? That's mono.
That's mononucleosis.
I beg your pardon.
Okay. Hey, well, anyway, gentlemen, listen. My biggest concern, it has been and continues to be, Matt Eddy. I'm not impressed that he was able to run a good and efficient offense with Alex Smith, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, what he's shown since he's been here is an inability to maximize the roster that he has. And actually, Bill Lazor did a better job of that than he did, and Bill Lazor was unemployed at the time. But I just show no ability, or at least an unwillingness, to adapt to the roster he has. He seems very stubborn, and it doesn't matter what Justin Fields does going forward. You know, if Justin Fields is transcendent, he's going to make Nagy look good no matter what. I want to see a coach who can actually maximize his roster. So that's my thought.
Mike, thanks, man. Appreciate you listening. So he makes some very valid points. Like, our defensive coordinator, he may be great. I know he's highly educated. They call him Doc. He's got a doctorate.
Sean Desai.
Maybe a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. He's never done it before. I don't know if he's going to be good at the job because he's never done it before. That's A. B, we fired one of the most renowned offensive line coaches in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look around the NFL, how many Notre Dame offensive linemen are out there. Where'd we get him from? Harry Heastand.
Right.
From Notre Dame. Quentin Nelson and Zach Martin, all these guys. And we brought in a guy who was unemployed, Juan Castillo. Unemployed.
Right.
And again, everybody need. God forbid we ever lose our job. You're hoping someone else will hire you. Well, you're unemployed to be able to go get hired somewhere else. I get it. Matt had never been a head coach. I'm just looking at our coaching staff going, are we good enough? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that question, but you know how this works in coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my guy in, or maybe he doesn't fit my philosophy. Remember, there's been a couple offensive coordinators under Nagy, and I don't even know what their purpose is if he's going to call all the plays, right?
Right.
I think good offensive coordinators under Nagy, he's like, nah, I'm going to switch out. You know how that works. I know a guy that knows a guy, or, hey, I'll bring you in. I'll get the other guy out. Don't worry. Hey, that's how it works.
That's the business.
That's how it works in coaching.
You're well spoken on that. You've seen it. You've been around teams for your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
312-332-3776. As we get ready for the Bears and Bengals on the lakefront, what is your biggest concern about this team? Secondary. Yep. Quarterback. Nice to see Joe Madden walking by the studio.
Hello, Joe.
Coaching. Offensive line. Or is it something else? 312-332-3776. Travis and Gary and the rest of you, we're coming your way next.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Okay, biggest concern about this 0-1 Bears team that was a national embarrassment on Sunday night. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Tucker. Tucker's in Wonder Lake. Hey, Buttercup, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing today?
How are you?
Hey, Tucker.
Hey, so my biggest concern is Matt Nagy. He is by far been a thorn in our side for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we go to the red zone or get on their side of the field? I know by the third quarter, I think it was 7 or 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And you're trying on fourth down how many times? First time's cool. That's great. It shows that you're really pushing for offense. But 2, 3, 4 times and you guys can't convert? That's ridiculous.
But is that on him or on Andy Dalton?
No. That's on him. He's calling the play. You have David Montgomery being a beast in the backfield, and he throws the ball. What is wrong? You're 4 and 2. Run the ball. Right? Am I wrong with that? He's beating up the defense with his feet.
I can make a case for both sides of that, and we appreciate
Thanks,
the phone
Tucker.
Call. One side of it says, boy, look how daunting that defensive line is for the Rams. But the other side of me is says, well, if you think you can go for it with Montgomery, go for it.
Correct. What I don't understand, and I would love for Matt to enlighten me on this, and he may have a very good reason. David Montgomery busts a big run. Let's say it's 9 yards.
Sure.
Why is he not in there for the next carry? It's like he comes off the field.
Mm-hmm.
David, are you not in shape? Well, that's not true because he's in amazing shape. You watch him. He's got an extra gear this year. Like, he's jacked. He is in amazing shape. And whether it was last year, this year, he gets a run. Rarely does he get the next carry. He had three carries for, I don't know, 60-some yards. Mm-hmm. Why did we go two possessions or two series where he didn't touch the ball?
Because it wasn't the next play on the sheet.
That's a joke.
No, I mean, that's the answer.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I mean, that's the answer. You want the answer like that because it wasn't the next play on his play sheet. And that and doesn't make sense to me. I mean, look, you got the defense on their heels, right? Why not continue to run the football until they stop you?
Let me ask you a question. If I'm pitching and you're batting,
yeah,
and I throw you a fastball, you aren't even close to it.
Right.
I throw you another fastball. You are not even close. Because our pregame scouting report was, when you get him to 0-2, throw the slider.
Mm-hmm.
No. You evolve. It's not called flipping, which I have done many times.
Mm-hmm.
It's evolving. Oh, hold on a second. I'm shaking him off. That guy can't touch my fastball. Here you go. And if you hit it, I'll adjust.
Right.
But guess what? You probably won't.
Yes.
So I don't care what your 15 pre-scripted plays say.
You understand the point, though. Like, for Nagy, I mean, this is what we talk about. I asked you about Nagy this upcoming season, and I said, you know, the one thing I don't want is for him to be inflexible,
mm-hmm.
right? I want him to be able to look at it and say, you know what? We're running the football well. Let's try it again. Maybe with another back. But whatever it is, let's keep the defense on their heels.
Mm-hmm.
If we run the football several times, maybe we can be able to get yards. But that's not how he looks at things. You know, it's a Kansas City offense without the Kansas City players.
Let's go to Mike in New Lenox. Hey, Mike, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys. The biggest problem with the Bears, the one common denominator in the failure of this franchise since the mid-'80s is the McCaskies. The Hawks needed Mr. Wirtz to pass. The Cubs needed Ricketts to come along. We need the McCaskies gone. They'll never go away. I mean, until Virginia passes and the kids take their money and run, the Bears are in trouble.
So what should we? In the meantime, should we just cut the TV off when the Bears are on? What do we do about it?
Well, that's what you have to do. I mean, we won't. I'm a knucklehead for doing it. Every Sunday is based on the hope that they beat the next team and.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Just a quick question, both of you. Yes, the owners can be your biggest concern because I don't think they have any idea how to hire people. I don't. They give Ryan all the money in the world. Oh, you want a $100 million facility? Build it. Oh, you want to give Khalil Mack the highest contract at the time of any defense player ever? Pay it. Oh, you want to trade picks to go get that guy? Do it. You want to get that guy? Do it. You want $70 million for Quinn? Do it. So, yes, I don't think they're great hiring people, but you can't dispute the fact they do put their money out there.
Yeah, but they're putting no armed men in charge of the puppets, so the puppets can't work. They're hiring everybody they hire and everyone they touch are the wrong people.
Because they look good in the foursome. We got to roll, Mike. Thanks. That's been your point all along.
That's what it comes down to, man. It comes down to this. I mean, it's one thing to be able to put money to the players and to the facility, but where are the W's? Where is the sustained success?
And where's the accountability?
There it is.
We got Shot or No Shot. That's our favorite segment of the day in 2 minutes.